You remember Sarosh, great big husky guy, and Baba down in front of him like this, a little sliver of a shadow in front in his wheelchair and squeezed in by the arms, and Sarosh is wheeling him out to the elevator to go down, to get in the car, to go up to Harmon on Hudson. And so all of a sudden, I thought, you know, the trouble with a scientist is, after he's proven something to himself, he has to reprove it. And then sometimes he has to reprove the damn thing. And it's ridiculous business. But anyway, I guess that's the way we're built by the Avatar himself. So I decided, well, I'm really going to see whether that was extraordinarily a coincidence after all. I got right back and back of great big old burly Sarosh here. I'm walking along, and here's Baba in front, and Baba's looking towards the front door, and they're starting to open it, and there's the elevator out there that he's going to go down, all of the scene of the crimes in front, and Sarosh has the big screen to it all. And so, what do I do? Well, this is even worse than number two. So I start to raise my hand in front of my nose behind Sarosh's back. Poor old Baba. What does he have to do this time? He puts his left elbow on the arm like that, and he twists himself way around like that, looks over Sarosh's shoulder, and does the circle back to me for the third time, you know. But just to, you know, to pamper old Stevens and his crazy ideas about what he thinks he needs to know or prove to himself or have response. You know, I don't know what sort of thing I was trying to do. But anyway, three times he comes back and just to pamper me. Well, I really felt so touched and so undone and so bemused, I let him go down the elevator without trying to pull any more pranks at that point. That was too much. The next day, Harmon on the Hudson, Mrs. Deuce, Charmy, Adi Sr., and I were there. We discussed certain Sufi matters. Now, here we've been dealing a bit with esoteric things. Golly. Esoteric things, but there we dealt, first of all, with some certain financial problems. To me, it was extraordinary that an individual who is, by all counts and all admissions, a magnificent spiritual individual, could bore into financial problems quickly, deftly, with a few very careful, very sharply directed questions, get to the heart of the matter, say, did you try that? What about so-and-so? And in the period of 5 minutes, matters which had been discussed and frothed about for months before were deftly clarified and then acutely keen suggestions made. Then Marcia Deduce had some extremely interesting philosophical questions to pose, very abstruse ones. Baba very simply went to the heart of those, dispensed with those. And about that point, then he immediately turned to me and said, Don, you've got some questions. Well, you've heard these old stories, you know. People always go to Baba with questions, and then they get there and they're too bemused to ask their questions. It happened to me. I had in my wallet five questions that I'd carefully noted down on a little piece of paper, and I had it all ready so I could pull it out so I wouldn't forget any of these earth-shaking things that were so important to me. And Baba said, well, now about your questions, Don. He didn't know anything about my questions. I knew about them. And I said, oh, no, Baba, I don't have any questions. Don, yes, you do have some questions. Oh, no, Baba, I don't have any questions. You know, this Alfredo Gaston thing goes on back and forth for 2-3 minutes, and finally I admitted I had two questions. And so I was still reluctant to bring up my two questions, and Baba says, well, you want me to throw out Mrs. Deuce and Charmy? Oh, no, that's not necessary. So he threw them out anyway. And I still wouldn't ask my questions. And so he said, well, what about Adi Sr.? Should we get rid of Adi? And I thought, oh, my God, how will I read his gestures? Then I won't know what he's saying. And so I said, no, that's not necessary. So I asked my two little questions. He said exactly the things I was afraid he was going to say. And I thought in my heart, my God, how am I ever going to bear the answers that he's given to me? The end of that story is, it was absolute duck soup, the things that I'd been dreading for years that I might one day have to end up doing. It didn't bother me the least single bit. And you're going to say, well, it's the Avatar. But you know, he also taught me something at that point. When you finally get done all this fuddy-dudding and tripping over your shoelaces about things that you dread, and finally you go ahead and do the necessary, even if the Avatar isn't there egging you on, when you finally make the decision and do it, it isn't one-tenth as bad as all of your imaginings. And he taught me that in about 2 seconds at that point. So, anyway, that was enough. Then, a little later that afternoon, he came back up to the Deuce apartment. We had a final session with him. I went off in the airplane. When I got in the airplane, of course, pretty well filled with Baba for quite some time. Came down to Chicago, refueled, took off again. As we took off again, then, of course, we're getting closer to San Francisco, scene of the crime, personnel problems, money problems, friend problems, you know, you name it. All the usual problems of life. And I started thinking about those again, feeling just a little bit ashamed, but I knew that it was Monday was going to be there fast, and I was going to have to put up some sort of a front or a pretense of knowing what I was doing. And so, first of all, I plugged into the personnel problem. God, there was an answer there I'd never dreamed of before. I thought, gee whiz, I was pretty stupid not to think of that one. So then I thought on to the next one, personal finances. You know, I'm in one's mid-20s. Who's ever got enough money? You know, I mean, everything is in a blessed red deficit. And I didn't see the answer to my big deficits at that point. For some strange reason, it didn't particularly seem to worry me. And then I went on, you know, I just sort of went through an inventory of my personal problems and pet peeves. And as I went through them, I began, you know, this old business of mathematical mind. Isn't that sort of odd? I mean, gee, I seem to see a surprising number of things I didn't see before. And where I don't see a solution, I don't seem to be all upset and perplexed by it. And this, then, was the outcome, as far as my own personal, practical life was concerned, the meeting with Baba. And I thought, well, I wonder, is it possible that I'm so bemused and so amazed by the presence and the impact of this man that for a while I can't be worried about these things. They're too mundane and too superficial. But then, as the weeks and the months rolled by, I really found out this little story I've already told many times, and it's in the introduction to God Speaks. The amazing thing is, in some fashion or another, Baba had clipped a very fundamental nerve response to worry. And I could never, after that point, become involved in this type of worry where your intestines, your stomach, your esophagus all get involved in the thing, you know. You get tense and tied into the middle of it. So that was the first meeting with Baba. Wendy, there it is. Much longer told than originally expected. Well, let's see. Gee, we've been going quite a long time. What time did we begin? About 8 o'clock, wasn't it? I tell you, there was one thing I wanted to toss out on the table, but I think maybe it would have to be a little bit a short version, but I think it's such an important question that at least I'd like to broach it. And to me, the subject is entitled Baba's Inner Guidance. Just a very simple little question, you know.
You can answer it in one word.
What's that?
Faith.
Faith.
What was the word? I missed it.
Faith.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got that, you don't got nothing.
Well, I'd written down two parts of that question, and I'd like to read them to you, and just see what your reaction to. Ned hits a terribly key word in the whole thing. The first part of the whole problem was, number one, now that Bob is no longer in the body, what do you feel the basis of our relationship with him can be? You know, that's pretty important. I don't know how many thousands of young people that I've run across around the world who are deeply attracted to Baba. Just about as soon as we get to know each other, they say, "Ah, well, but you know, you were one of those lucky people who was alive and got to India and America to see Baba." But we don't have that. We missed the boat. We got to wait 700 years until he comes around again. And so, I think that this is absolute.
This is what astounds me about all the people that didn't meet him, because remember, Baba used to talk about 100% conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having met Baba in a flash of a second, you know that's what I want. I got what I think is 100% conviction, and faith goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
But how about all these people who didn't meet him? How do
sure.
they get it? That's what I'm
yeah.
talking about.
Right. And that's what they keep tossing on the table. So I would just say to the whatever number of people sitting here in the room, if he isn't in the body, are you clipped short? Do you have certain small resources that are left? I mean, what do you feel about it? That's question number one. And question number two then gets a little more to the heart of the thing. Do you feel it is possible for him to continue to give us inner guidance? And if so, what is our responsibility in interpreting this guidance? And by God, that final part of that one, I really would like to challenge us all on it, because I feel we have an enormous responsibility and an enormous amount of judgment that needs to go into it. Now, I'm not asking these questions just rhetorically, and then I'm going to expound on what I feel. I feel these are good, working, day-by-day, laboratory problems that we're all involved in. Because of the fact that the Muirs and the Foots and Don and the Haynes, Connors, who are here, got to meet him, doesn't answer those questions. I mean, for us, too, he's out of the body now. What the devil goes on? How do we follow? And what are our responsibilities as to how we follow? We're all in the middle of the soup pot together there, really. We've got to find out the same answers that people who never met Baba. Maybe we have one or two more clues, but by gosh, we've got the same questions staring us in the face. This is the important part. Can I read question number one again?
And number two.
And number two. Oh, we're not going to neglect number two. Now that Baba is no longer in the body, what do you feel the basis of our relationship with him can be? What is it? Some books? The Mandali, who remembers wonderful stories? Or is it more than that? Really, what's it get down to? What's the potential for Baba relationship?
Well, if you love Baba, you get the answer.
Ned, I'm going to hold you until the last, because you know too many answers.
Sorry, I will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please, Cheryl.
No, I just found, because I just came to Baba like about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going through that sort of thing of I never had any chance to see Baba in India or anything. And I just find, having met a lot of people who, you know, like Kitty Davy and Delia and you and other people who met Baba, and they talk, for me, Baba is a much more sort of universal thing. And I think that when I first came to Baba, I was very fascinated by what Baba did day to day and reading biographies and that sort of thing. But for me, Baba's taken on a much more sort of universal, much more sort of God and the beyond and that sort of thing. And I was just reading something today that's interesting, like how do you get Baba, this sort of being where you're not even sort of trying to model your life on his or on things, maybe not on things he actually said. But it's the sort of thing where, you know, people are talking about how do you get, like, intuition, and what is intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's you really just use your mind and you decide things for yourself, and when they feel so right, you feel so honest about it, that's when Baba is guiding you, and it's not just your ego saying, well, I want to go this way or that way. When you can just sort of sit down and feel totally honestly and at peace with the decision you've made.
All right, well, now we have a very important first offering suggestion on the block that When you have an internal sense of deep rightness and peace, this has to be Baba guiding the situation. Do you agree? You disagree? Or where do you feel there's some weaknesses? Because this is a terribly important point. What's your judgment point as to whether it is or isn't Baba's guidance?
She hit the nail on the head. It really is the process of intuition. I think Baba says that God speaks, or not God speaks. He says it in, I can't remember which one it is. The voice of God's the voice of intuition.
Well, you know, he also says at the same time that he's bringing up intuition, he is also talking about the necessity to be intelligent, to use judgment, to use one's head. And in many places after he's gotten done damning intellect, he points out that the really perfected individual is the one who balances the two. So let's also always remember the balancing that Bobby insists on, that it's not just intuition.
Well, I think not to get off in an intellectual discourse, but that's what intuition is, a balancing of the internal senses.
I think it's the intuition that finally leads you to the decision. The intellect, you sort of batter things around, this is the pro, this is the con, and you think everything out, but it's the intuition that finally gets you to actually say, this is right. Because
so
it's beyond the sort of juggling things around.
Now, I hope enough of you know me well enough that when I pitch into something and challenge a person, it doesn't mean I'm mad at them or that I'm trying to say that they're wrong. But, you know, these things are so terribly important that we can't be superficial about them. So I would just have to say, really, how do you know when it's a sound intuition or really when your own ego pattern is involved in the thing? After all, I get terribly happy and balanced and satisfied when my ego is very satisfied. I have to admit that to myself. And I suspect other people are not too different from myself.
Well, I found it kind of interesting listening to you describe it as Baba being universal, because for me it was just the opposite. It was trying to get God out of universal into personal. And I learned things the hard way. Peggy always talks about it, but I mean, I learn by making mistakes. I very seldom sit down and intuit what I should be doing. I just kind of plunge blindly ahead, and when it doesn't work, I go, wow, I wonder what that means, and sort of ferret it out from there what I'm doing wrong and why it isn't working.
Let me ask you right there a blunt question. Where do you think Baba's involvement, right in the middle of a day-by-day practical situation, is? Is he somewhere there? Is he nowhere there? Or is he everywhere there?
He's teaching through everything, all the time.
You feel he's everywhere, even if you're blowing your nose, Bob is involved in that.
Yeah, he's everybody that's talking to you, Sam, everything that's happening to you, he's teaching what you need to learn.
All right, so you look at it, teaching in enormous detail in day-to-day living. What do you all think about that? Do you think he's crazy, or do you think maybe he's got a point? Or do you think he's half crazy when he says that? Again, please forgive me with these blunt words, but...
I thought he was kind of crazy when I first thought about it. I mean, I really thought, God knows everything, but he's not all the time involved with every little thing you're doing. But if you ever try to, try to, like you said, you try to fool him, try to think a thought that he doesn't know.
I tried once or twice, but I didn't get far.
No, I tried the same kind of process. In fact, this is sort of funny, but the first Baba book I ever read was Listen to Humanity, and I was very moved by that story that you told tonight. And in the process that I came to of just believing, for me, believing in Baba was actually believing he was everywhere all the time and really knew. And I tried that same thing you did, only watching a movie, and the first time I ever saw a film of Baba, that's the first thing that went to my mind is, okay, God, if you're really there, look right at me right now. Show me. Just stop. I don't know if it happened for anyone else watching the film, but
for you, he stopped.
He looked out at the screen and said, hi. About three, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, I've got a real analytical mind, and I went, he could have just turned at that point in the movie. And I thought that, I said, show me again. Just stopped again. Look right at me. All right, enough. If you win. And I think I've probably gone through that testing process, more often than I like to admit. But every time every time I do it, he's always there. And after a while, you just realize that, mm-hmm. you know, you can't take him by surprise. He's always looking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you just, for me, it's just stumble along and...
But with your sense of his intimate participation and intimate detail in daily life, this is the essence of what you're saying. What do the rest of you feel? You see, I'm going to let the rest of them challenge you. I just say, what do you feel? Is this realistic, or is this reading too much of a poor old busy avatar into the middle of how can he look after a few billion people in that sort of detail? Andy? Don't get too far with us, though, Andy. You know too many things, too.
I think we have to remember that Baba said, I am whatever you take me to be. If we try to crystallize one person's heart feeling about Baba and another person who might, one person who feels that faith is the most important factor, then it is so.
Mm-hmm.
Another feels that the manifestation of love by Baba's grace is the answer to everything. It is so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to remember what Baba said, I am whatever you take me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So mankind has always gotten himself in a sweat because one person is always trying to convince another person that his aspect, his understanding, his feeling about God is right and the other fellow is wrong. So whatever you feel in your heart about Baba is right for you, and that's all that matters.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous. Religions have, we know all the history of religion. People have fought wars and all the rest of it because one person was unwilling to understand that there isn't any one road, there's no one viewpoint, there's no one attitude to find him. He said, when I drop my body, I will live in the hearts of my lovers, and I will go from heart to heart. So the intellect is what we've been using all of our lives, and that's why we've been screwed up all of our lives, because we haven't let our heart have its say. That's all I have to say, Don.
Okay. Well, that's plenty, Andy.
Yeah, I agree very much with that. Baba dropped so many clues in things that he said. One thing that comes to mind is say things that you would not hesitate to say in my presence, do things, and so forth and so on. And that could be a key, for instance, to many people. I think it is to me to some extent. By keeping that in mind and keeping him as a constant companion, so to speak, in whatever ways we devise for that, he can really constantly be telling us, are we doing the right thing, are we doing the wrong thing, what should we do next, because we can tap and communicate with him. It might be...
What do you mean by that? You mean now?
Looking at his picture, a picture that looks directly at you. I think a lot of us have experienced this. There are times when we just felt like putting a handkerchief over the picture or something so we couldn't look at it. And just a feeling in a certain circumstance comes over one that it's saying yes or no, do this or do that. Or seeing him there, or hearing his silence and what's coming through there. There are many ways.
Well, let's take off from one of your points then. What do you generally feel here? Is it possible? Now, Baba's not dropped the body. Is it possible to tap Baba now meaningfully, alive, organically? He's dropped the body, and somewhere or another that has real energy, real significance, real possibilities for internal guidance. Now, for an individual, let's say, who wants to, who feels drawn to it, to follow Andy's point. Another individual, their meaning, their reality may be something totally different. But suppose you, for instance, say, every time that I read something about Bob, every time I look at his picture, I just have this tremendous need and drive to be really in the presence and under the spiritual thumb, the guidance of Baba. Is that possible these days, or is that an illusion And if the person thinks that that's happening, they're just about ready for the loony bar. Right, this is a terrible... Andy? Not yet, please. No.
I'm showing great respect.
I'm sure you are. I am too. You can't imagine. Please.
Again, what you're saying, it's interesting. I think that it has to be possible to maintain any sort of real personal relationship with God, because if you look just in the past at people like St. Francis and stuff, who, although Jesus wasn't there physically in the body, I mean, St. I just couldn't discredit the experiences they had and the fact that their life was so, I mean, so purely dedicated to this sort of the way of Christ at that time.
I think this is a terribly important point, because Baba himself commented deeply before many of us here on St. Francis when he named the four great Christian tradition saints and pointed out that of those, St. Francis was the one who, because of his deep love and of his sense of relationship to Christ and his love for Christ, achieved perfect masterhood, the only Westerner who has yet done it. 1,000 years after Christ had dropped the body. So this just has to be from Baba's own direct mouth. Ned's going to burst a button if we don't...
No, no. Mm-hmm.
Ned, I thought you were waving your hand. I say...
I don't want to say anything because...
I think we'd all feel pretty...
I think I probably tend to oversimplify it. But in the end, it becomes a question of what you know is right and what you know isn't right. And you know it. And it's just that simple. It's like, what does he say in the last paragraph of God Speaks? You know, you can beat this question to death, and what's coming. In the end, you have to decide for yourself, how are you going to figure out what you ought to do and what you shouldn't do? No,
but there's a lot of figuring sometimes in that.
Sure, but I think if you keep quiet and think about it, the answer usually comes, and you know it's the right answer. Now, don't tell me how you know it. But I do know it, and I don't say that I always do it. And when I haven't done it, I get in a lot of trouble. That's it.
So Ned votes on the score that when you finally get there, you have a deep internal sense of the rightness of it and the peace within yourself that this is right. You were just about to say something.
I mean, it would be pretty hopeless if we felt that we couldn't have that kind of, you know, experience.
Yep.
I don't think any of us would be interested in following Baba because we haven't met him if we didn't have some inkling that he's going to keep. I mean, because I am not a very... Well, I guess Adi once... I mean, Eric once told me the story. He said, please don't be the kind of Baba lover that, you know, Baba has to tie your hands and your feet and take you on board. Well, I happen to be that kind of Baba lover. And he does that. And for me, that's where I get my faith is just that, you know, I don't do that much, but he's just like constantly pulling me and showing me,
sure,
you know, that he is paying attention.
You're hooked on the line and he's pulling.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could I just offer one or two suggestions to you about, let's say, forgive me, these are going to be hopelessly, brutally intellectual propositions that I'm going to put before you, but I want to put them before you. It takes absolutely no stroke of the imagination to be absolutely convinced of at least a couple properties of what avatarhood has to be. First of all, the avatar, from everything Baba has told us and every mystic tradition tells us, the avatar is in charge of creation. He's it. And forgive me for repeating an old phrase, he's the chairman of the board of creation. It's under him. He's got all of the lines and the vice presidents under him. He sets down policy, and he's in intimate charge of it. The second thing that certainly doesn't take a great stroke, but maybe it's a little bit more confusing, and that is that if what Baba says about creation being imagination, if when the avatar is freed from the imagination of creation, and in perfection he must be, then he also has to be freed automatically. And we know enough in science nowadays to know this is true, that therefore he is absolutely beyond time and space and bodies. He is not limited by them. So this whole business of he was, he is, he will be is meaningless in relation to avatarhood. Therefore, when he dropped the body, is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. He is just as intimately present now as when he was in the body and before he was in the body. All of that has nothing to do with the situation. So the property of perfection just has to be that he can function at any point within the illusion of creation, that he has any mind to at any time. So the chairman of the board is eternally present. So certainly within all of the principles of perfection, you and I right here have to be at just as immediately under his thumb, potentially, and you can recognize it or not recognize it or enjoy it or not recognize it, but that is a fact. He is. So those are the two hopelessly intellectual things I want to toss into the pot because I think they are basic to it.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is Baba the name for the avatar in this particular incarnation, and it's applicable to our reference to him in this incarnation only, or is there some further addition to God insofar as since he's taken this incarnation, we're now referring to God as Baba? In other words, is Baba the reference to a chronological advent of the in this age of the avatar, as Jesus represents another advent, and Mohammed and Buddha, and that God is really, that Baba is, we're referring to this, his physical association with his body, or does it go beyond that?
Sure. I'd like to say I think our very best exponent to answer that is Charles Haynes. Charles, why don't you take over?
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Because we communicate that way.
I was telling you not to turn over to me.
So, all right. No, I was immune at that point.
I enjoy it so much.
Yep, now you got to work, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Thought,
well,
Don's
going to say something really perfect.
Yep.
Neither one of you did that.
My feeling is that whenever one thing I'll throw in, something Elizabeth said, it's always to say, whenever someone would talk about Baba dropping the body, she would, or especially she would gently remind me very quietly, she said, "Well, you mean when he dropped the physical body?" And that always struck something deep in my heart because she felt that Meher Baba was more alive than ever after 1969. And she didn't say it or feel it because she wanted to make people feel good who hadn't met Meher Baba physically, but because that was her experience. And that, just to reinforce what you were saying earlier, of the eternal presence of the avatar who cannot leave, can go nowhere, because if the avatar did, there would be no creation. There would be no universe. There is no link between reality and illusion without the God-man. The names he gives himself, of course, are extremely important. And in that sense, I feel that, yes, he has given us the name for our true self in this time. And that is a very, very precious gift. And my feeling from what I've gathered from Baba is that he gives that gift in love and can only be received in love. Therefore, as Andy was saying, only in the heart can the name Meher Baba be heard and responded to. Not the words Meher Baba, but the name Meher Baba, which is more than the words Meher Baba. It is the echo of our true self. And when we utter Meher Baba, we are saying
something of ourselves that we've never been able to know, and that we would have no inkling of if he hadn't taken a physical form and jolted us awake to ourselves in this time. The physical form was so precious and great because without that form, there is no awakening. The name cannot be spoken in the heart. And once he leaves behind that physical form, that reverberation of the awakening in the heart is just beginning. His life as Meher Baba is just beginning. And we are living in Meher Baba's life now, more than those of us who were with him physically. I feel this is Meher Baba's life, because this is when the reverberation of his name is speaking in depths of the heart. So the name Meher Baba, yes, is now the name that our self knows itself by. And when we hear that name, we are guided inwardly to ourself, by ourself. And that is always possible in every age, in every moment, but at this time, now, is most possible, because this is his life, when he's most present and most alive.
Thank you, Charles. I will repeat the second question, and if you will forgive me, I do want to say just one thing, and then I know the night is unexpectedly, at least for me, gotten quite late already. So, second question, you remember, do you feel it is possible for him to continue to give us inner guidance? And there's certainly been an awful lot of statement already, yes, absolutely. And then the second part of that question, if so, what is our responsibility in interpreting this guidance? And if you'll forgive me, and you know, one can only speak from his own experience and convictions. I feel that this is becoming an increasingly important point. Baba did say to any number of people, I was present on a number of occasions, when he would say to individuals or groups, individuals who were missing Baba more and more as he went more and more into seclusion, individuals who had access either directly face to face or at least by letters or cablegrams, who were saying, but Baba, you have given me guidance. I would ask you what I should do here and what I should do there and so on. And Baba would say, don't worry, I will guide you internally. Again and again, Baba would say that. But you know, while Baba would give, let's say, a magnificent principle, then the actual working out in detail with the practical challenges and problems, then is when he would really work with us, with all of us, in day-to-day life and teach us the principles. And I see so many, many times, especially in recent months, the manner in which Baba is bringing up in individuals who were sincerely, deeply, lovingly, honestly trying to find internal guidance. I keep seeing the challenges. One type of plaint that many people tell me is, I pray to Baba, I open my heart to Baba, I look to Baba for guidance, but I don't get any answer. What does Baba want me to do? I've still got the same problem. Now, don't everybody jump in and say, well, obviously this or that or the other thing. This is statistically a tremendously important problem. Another, on the reverse end of the spectrum problem, and this is the one that worries me more, frankly, than the simple admission of, I don't get the signal. That one, I think, is a very honest answer, and I don't get worried about that. But at the other end of the spectrum, I see on occasions now, and increasingly, individuals who feel that their step-by-step actions are being internally, directly guided by Baba, and that therefore they assume a sort of Baba infallibility in those actions. And this, I feel, is, unfortunately, the seeds of what I call fanaticism. And I go back to really dozens of times when I've been sitting somewhere in the background and a Baba lover would come to Baba and say, Baba, you appeared to me, you said this to me, you did that for me, you cured me of this, you cured my uncle of that. And in only two instances did Baba say, other than that, no, Baba did not appear to you, Baba did not cure you of that, Baba did not do that for you, your love for Baba did so and so and so and so. But in other words, Baba did not intercede in your lives. And this, I think, is terribly important. This I know because by Baba's grace, I saw how many times, statistically, he denied direct intervention in the individual's lives. So guidance has to be on a different principle. I think we have a tremendous responsibility to open our hearts. But remember, one thing Yarish said to me just after Baba dropped the body, I got to India the next day, talking about various things about what aspects of divinity Baba utilized. Divine, all knowledge, all power, all bliss. All right. Harry said, well, all knowledge, yes, certainly. Baba always knew everything. This I could also corroborate, even from my own little experience. Nothing did I do. No tiny, little, old, nasty, stinky thought went through Stevens' tortuous mind that Baba didn't instantly know, and the worst of them, he'd say, Don, what are you thinking? You know, try to catch me from it. All knowledge, yes, 100%. All power, not very much. He had it accessible, but he utilized it even less than Jesus Christ did. All bliss, no. The avatar doesn't use all bliss, because then how can he really participate in the sorrows and the pains, which is one of the things that he comes to help us with. So all power, no, he doesn't lead through with God's power to push you to do this, to make that decision for you, and so on. Why otherwise would he browbeat and push the mandali so unmercifully to make decisions and do things well? Remember that. So I wish we could have talked a lot longer about that one, because believe me, this one is coming front and center. I tell you it's coming front and center. It is a big challenge, and it is terribly important that people do not inadvertently begin to adopt a base of fanatical action within the conviction that they are being step-by-step guided by Baba. He doesn't work that way. I know it. So I think you, I think that you usually have a silence, so shall we sit quietly with Baba?
I did it not.